Welcome back to 77 Degrees South. Our Inspiring Explorers team are again heading northwards, back towards Aotearoa, New Zealand. From Cape Adare to Hut Point, we've had a huge adventure and visited four of the historic huts cared for by the Antarctic Heritage Trust. We've been immersed in the history of endurance and hardship faced by heroic era polar explorers and returned a historic artifact, a copy of the Count of Monte Cristo, to the ice. That sounds like a decent day's work to me. Let's see how we're getting on with packing up our kit on the Heritage Adventurer.
It is the last day on the ship for the Inspiring Explorers team. We're just at sea today. We've been to Endemee Island yesterday and Campbell Island the day before, two sub-Antarctics, to transition us back into New Zealand greenery and New Zealand scenery. But we can still see seabirds and albatross out the window today. We're all packing up. I'm just going to go ask Lucy how she's doing. How are you feeling packing up and leaving the ship?
Honestly, it feels surreal. Like, I feel nervous and excited. It's been 4 weeks of just Antarctica, really,
yeah.
And the same people, which has been amazing. And now I'm nervous to get back to reality.
And you've been disconnected the whole time, like me, right?
Yeah. Fully disconnected.
Have you turned your phone back on yet, or when are you going to do that?
I turned it off flight mode, but I don't imagine we'll be into reception until early tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a bit nervous.
How are you feeling about packing up and leaving the Heritage Adventurer and the whole trip?
It feels a bit weird. I feel like it's been a long time since I unpacked. I don't know where the time's gone. I mean, I know where it's gone. It's been on this amazing adventure. I'm trying to remember how everything fits in my suitcase. I'm looking at the clothes and I'm thinking it's going to be nice to have some different clothes. Maybe have some clean clothes. But, you know, it's that kind of really nice closing chapter, you know, and you've gone on a holiday. You should pack up all your stuff. Listen to some Crowded House, you know. Lucy and I are just reflecting and vibing, you know.
Kitiona. I love going into everyone's rooms and seeing the music they're playing with packing. I've just invited myself in here. Is it okay if I ask you how you're feeling about packing up and leaving the ship?
Feeling a bit emotional since it's our last day.
Oh, are you? Yeah. I feel like I haven't seen you in days, and I'm like, he's probably excited to get back. You've got family and things that you're probably missing.
Yeah, I'm excited to see my family, but like, I'm gonna miss, you know, the adventures we all went through.
Now I has her suitcase out. How are you feeling about packing up and leaving the Heritage Adventurer?
Honestly, it's pretty bittersweet. I feel really well prepared. I've got all my clothes just packed and folded right in front of me. Obviously, I do feel a bit sad. You know, all our clothes that have been hanging up and finally taking them off the coat hangers and putting them in to my wee suitcase. It is a bit bittersweet and it is a bit sad.
Jake and Daniel, you're packing up. You've got a couple of shorts. This is all you've brought, obviously. A couple of shorts, maybe some shirts. You know, I've only ever seen you in shorts anyway. How are you feeling packing up and leaving the Heritage Adventurer?
It feels incredible to think that 4 weeks has gone by since we got on here. It feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel sad. It feels, I just feel like it's been the right amount of time. I feel content with everything that we've accomplished. I feel excited to get back home. A little bit nervous about how much we're going to miss each other when we're first apart, but, you know, excited to be back on solid ground where I'm allowed to lay down on the floor. Because I quite like laying on the front lawn at home, and I've gone 4 weeks without being able to lay on any solid ground. I'm looking forward to getting back. But it's definitely the closing of a chapter, that's for sure.
Okay, Daniel, packing up his sailor pants, which is all he's bought as well, and maybe some waistcoats. How are you feeling about finally leaving the ship?
I'm a little bit nervous to pack up my little sailor pants and waistcoats because I feel that with all the meals that we've been eating, I have expanded, and I assume that my clothes have expanded with me because I've been wearing the same clothes, and they were a pretty tight fit when I started. So I'm kind of worried that with the expansion of the clothes, they might not fit in my bag and I'm going to have problems. As far as going back to the real world is concerned, I'll be sad to go back to Australia and be really far away from my Inspiring Explorer family. You guys all seem, I know you all live in different parts of New Zealand, but to me, New Zealand is just the size of like a thumb. So it's like you can all just walk to each other's houses, I assume. Whereas I'll be really far away and across a sea. Although having now crossed quite a lot of ocean, I'm much less worried about that prospect because I know that I can just you know, hop a ride on a ship anytime and be back to see you guys. So we did really well with the time that we have had, and we have had lots of kind of sea days in between the big things to sort of process. I feel that this has been a fantastic trip, so I feel really good about everything we've done, and I feel really good about everything that we're going to do now that we've been inspired by this trip.
Probably worth capturing was, Maya, how do you feel about the end of the trip and packing up and the fact that we'll be, he's back home 48 hours from now, but back in NZ this time tomorrow?
I'm honestly worried about the state of my clothes because they're all quite dirty from the time here. I've like tried to do minimal laundry. And I'm just sad about the bubble of us and the ship and all these people that we've met bursting and having to go back to this urban city world that I'm not really a fan of, to be honest. But like Daniel said, I'm also excited. I feel like I've learned a lot, and I'm just excited to see how I can put that into practice and what I can do with this, and hoping that I'll still have the courage to be able to do that when I'm not on a ship.
Throughout our journey south, we reflected on the stories of polar exploration and the huts we visited with the Trust's former conservation manager, Al Fastia. When we landed at Cape Adare, what stuck out to many of us was the weighted history that surrounded Borchgrevink's hut, the place of the first expedition to overwinter in Antarctica and a place of huge struggle through the winter darkness. Al shared with us his similar impressions of Cape Adare from his time working at the site.
Cape Adare. I first went to Cape Adare. I was actually a government rep on a tourist ship. And as you're aware, it's a very difficult site to get to. When I went, the hut was full with artifacts, so 1,200 artifacts. So I had a slightly different feeling from your experience, but you really felt the remoteness of the site being on Wrigley Beach, and I just couldn't help believe that 10 men lived in a small hut about the same size as this cabin, from different cultures, from different classes, and with a sense of tension. And I can imagine myself actually spending a lot of time walking the beach just to get some sense of peace and away from everybody.
The conflicts during Borchgrevink's expedition echoed as we learned the importance of a strong team, not just in polar exploration, but through to today's on-ice conservation teams and research teams based out of Antarctic bases. Even within our own team, we learned the importance of being able to rely on one another.
Well, there's two parts of it. One is actually getting people who can work together as a team, you know, and Lizzie and I have a vested interest in getting the right people because we're working alongside them. So that's challenging, and typically we've done very well. And the other part is actually the logistics, and you can see the major work that we've done on the huts, and it's not like you can pop down to Bunnings or the warehouse to buy stuff. So actually the timing, the logistics, and even getting the permitting, you know, It's major work.
We asked Al what he reckons the heroic era polar explorers would think of the work that has been put into conserving the historic huts.
I think they'll be amused. they took the huts south, typically as kit sets, built them, and they were only meant to last for like two or three seasons or years. And I think they'll be amused that we've actually kept their buildings and their artifacts and using them as milestones to keep their stories alive. So they'll probably be proud and amused at the same time.
Visiting the huts, we saw firsthand the impact of the Adélie penguin colony at Cape Adare, or Mount Erebus dwarfing the huts at Cape Evans and Cape Royds, and experienced something Al calls spirit of place.
Hopefully, you know, after visiting the hut, you can actually appreciate this now. But if you take the hut out of context, it would just mean nothing. So if you've got a simple wooden hut in a museum, it doesn't mean a great deal. But in the context of being in Antarctica, it becomes very special. And this is the place, you know, the explorers lived and travelled and explored. And the same as if you take an artifact out of the hut, which may be a simple can, as a part of the collection, that can tells a story and sets up the spirit of place within the building. If you took that can out of the hut and placed it in a museum, it would mean nothing. So I think the context is very important.
After decades of working with the Antarctic Heritage Trust, we wanted to know what legacy Al would be taking from the historic huts.
I believe the huts are sort of like touchstones to keep the historic stories alive. And I think the stories are possibly more important than the huts, but the huts actually are a way of keeping the stories alive.
Present in all of our minds while in the Ross Sea was the threat of climate change. It poses an existential threat to the Antarctic environment and wildlife, and the threat of sea level rise means that what happens with the ice in Antarctica has many consequences for our lives at home in Aotearoa. It also means changing conditions for the preservation of historic huts, with new challenges of sea level rise and erosion exacerbated by ice melt. Antarctic sea ice and ice shelves are melting faster than experts initially thought. The World Meteorological Organization has recorded the lowest ever extent of Antarctic sea ice in the last 3 years, each summer melt dropping the ice below 2 million square kilometres. Seeing this firsthand crystallised how important it is to protect Antarctica and all of its parts. We asked Al about his thoughts on the continued relevance of the huts into the future.
The future of the huts is an interesting question because, you know, as the huts were conserved in the 60s, again in the 80s, and the Trust has undertaken the conservation program, you know, around 2005 onwards. It'd be naive to think you can walk away from them, and so they'll need to be conserved and maintained into the future. So with the conservation of the huts, it's going to come under a degree of pressure with climate change, and that's where I think virtual reality and the like will become very important. For you guys, is that hopefully that you've been inspired, and that will actually blossom for you to be able to inspire other people and take on leadership roles and be ambassadors for Antarctica. So I think it's a great opportunity, and you're a great bunch, and you all bring different skills and have great abilities in a variety of ways, and I'm sure that you're keen to take the story of your learnings and share it with other young people to pay it forward.
The Antarctic Heritage Trust is committed to understanding how climate change may affect the historic huts they care for. They are working to gather data to make informed decisions about interventions that may be required. A comprehensive review of the conservation management plans for each site is underway, and the Trust aims to proactively identify and mitigate potential risks to the historic sites, including the implications of climate change. Our expedition to the Antarctic marked the 10th anniversary of the Inspiring Explorers program, and it was the first to make it to the historic huts in Antarctica. The first Inspiring Explorers expedition was in 2015, when three young people from the UK, Ireland and Aotearoa New Zealand followed in the footsteps of explorers Ernest Shackleton, Frank Worsley and Thomas Crean to cross South Georgia Island, as the three explorers did under dire conditions to finally reach help after the sinking of the Endurance in the Weddell Sea. Maya talked to one of those on the 2015 expedition, Inspiring Explorer James Blake, son of Kiwi legend Sir Peter Blake.
Crossing it was... it only took us 2.5 days or so, but it was so remote, you know, the island's not that big, but once you're up in the middle, the kind of the expanse of all the glaciers and the mountains, you are really kind of quite remote, and felt quite kind of isolated, but we had a great team with us. So, you know, we kind of laughed quite a lot of the way. Yeah, it was just quite an incredible experience.
Before the inaugural Inspiring Explorers expedition, James had been to the Antarctic with the Trust's conservation team to work on Shackleton's hut and was part of the team that discovered the iconic Shackleton whiskey frozen under the hut. He made a short film of the crossing of South Georgia, and later he joined the crew that discovered the wreckage of Shackleton's Endurance in the Weddell Sea in 2022.
It was incredible to kind of follow that story even more closely, I think. I'd read kind of all of Shackleton's books, but mate, and I had read about the whole trip, but I kind of focused on the South Georgia part, especially when I was making the film. So then to go and be part of a group of people to find the Endurance was just incredible, because it kind of linked these two trips kind of together. And then even before that, down to when we went down to the Antarctic when I was 21, when we discovered Shackleton's whiskey with the trust, you know, it kind of gave me this weird kind of relationship with Shackleton that I would never would have had.
Through our Ross Sea expedition, many of us became more grounded in our passions and purpose, be it for Antarctic conservation, storytelling, or something else entirely. James says he experienced something similar from the first Inspiring Explorers expedition.
It definitely solidified what I wanted to do. In 2015, I was kind of I was working as a cameraman in 2015, but I was kind of just getting into it really. And so that trip really, I absolutely loved it. You know, it was incredible to go to this remote place and do this incredible challenge, but also do it in a way that you, because I was filming it, and that's something that I'm really passionate about, to be able to kind of do that and then just carry it on. So that really, it really was a bit of a turning point. I think maybe not a turning point, but it just, I really knew what I wanted to do from that.
The stark change that comes from having the privilege of an experience like ours is one of the things our team have continued to spend time discussing and bonding over since getting home. The opportunity to step outside of our lives and to take on a challenge at the edge of the globe, to learn and to have the privilege of experiencing the natural beauty of the environment, as well as the work of the Antarctic Heritage Trust, has truly left us more inspired and connected to our history, our planet, our purpose, and our team. In sharing the experience of Antarctica, our Ross Sea team has become and remains incredibly close. We learnt how even in the most remote or inspiring places, it is the people who can make an experience transformative.
The program itself had a big impact on me, but also the people in it, like Nigel, had a big impact on me, and Al. I spent, when I was in the Antarctic, when I was 21, he was our project lead, so we got to spend 2 months with him. He had a big impact on me. Just by, you know, he would always keep me smiling, and the humour that he'd provide was, I still look back on that very fondly. And I do think about that when, you know, you can be in a pretty horrible place, you know, it might have been icy cold and, you know, I was under the huts digging quite a lot, and it's not the nicest place to be. You get really cold, but you'd hear Al start singing "If You're Happy" and, you know, it, clap your hands behind you, and you just start laughing. And I think about those little moments quite a lot, and suddenly, you know, you're having great fun. And from the South Georgia trip, that has kind of reaffirmed that it doesn't kind of matter where you are, it's more about the people that you're with.
Our expedition to Antarctica was life-changing in many ways for our Inspiring Explorers team. We owe the greatest of thanks to the Antarctic Heritage Trust for giving us the opportunity to become inspired, and to the listeners of 77 Degrees South for following our journey. To find out more about the Trust's work to conserve the huts and their Inspiring Explorers expeditions to the polar regions, visit nzaht.org.
This episode was written and produced by Maya Ingo, with technical production and music by Callum Turner and narration by Jake Bailey. Thanks to the donors to the Trust's Inspiring Explorers Fund, expedition partner Heritage Expeditions, and supporter Cheshire Architects.